The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
We hope you enjoyed Tony Curry Radio's rendition of Mission Minded, the show we've been doing for years. And, of course, Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, does a wonderful job. And we do talk about difficult things. We talk about things that maybe on some radio stations they would woke it. Maybe they would cancel up. But when you run the radio station like I do, I can do whatever I want. And that's why I don't think we stepped on any toes by any stretch. But I do think it's something that a lot of us want to have a place to talk to and talk about. And we don't give that opportunity. So on Mission Minded, we certainly do. Bite by Bite. You've been dealing with non-for-profits your entire life. You were part of the Jimmy Hale Mission. We talk about the social economic issues of poverty and how sometimes you're born into poverty and how it can be pervasive and how sometimes it's hard to stop that cycle of poverty. And you wanted to talk a little bit about that today on Bite by Bite.
Well, we were talking about difficult conversations on Mission Minded and Charlie Kirk and the effects of his life. And he would engage with people of, didn't matter the gender. It didn't matter if they were pro LGBTQ. It didn't matter. He was always interested in having a conversation. And some of those conversations over the years have been attempted to be suppressed, as we talked about, because when people disagree and they can't win on the merits of an argument, they can call you names to shut down your attempt because they really don't want to face the argument. If I'm just listening to any argument, it doesn't matter what argument. If I'm hearing two people argue and somebody says, this is why I believe 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And somebody goes, well, that's crazy. You just are a hater. You just this. You're stupid. And, it devolves into that, just calling names. Oh, you're a fascist. You're a Nazi, whatever it is. Then I'm like, well, here's somebody who, whether you agree with them or not, they listed why they believe what they do. And this person just acted out of emotion. They couldn't lay out why they value what they valued. And so I'm going to be more influenced by this. One of the most heartbreaking things is there's never in the history of the world been a more wealthy country. Just this morning, Rick Pate, who is our agriculture commissioner, who's running for lieutenant governor, came and talked about the ag department this morning. And he talked about how much food, that we do food so much better. He was talking about celebrating farmers and that there's so much food. And I say that in Feeding America Network, there is enough food to feed everybody in Alabama and every other place. It's an access issue and getting access to people who are in poverty. And it's exactly true what you say. When you look at the issue of poverty, people tend to look at it one way or another. Like they'll say, okay, there are people who are in poverty who don't have access to transportation, who don't have access to good education, and those are all factors and factors that I have fought against for a couple of decades. But there are also things that I think that if you just compared it to 50 years ago or 75 years ago, you will see our culture has shifted that has some causal effects. Mm-hmm. One of those being generational poverty. Before the government stepped in with what they viewed as the war on poverty, Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, you saw a lot of poverty in the African-American community. You see it in the white community as well, but it was more prominent in the African-American community. But you still had a father. You still had that dynamic. And so they would raise their kids. Yeah, they didn't have tons of resources, but they raised them with a work ethic. They raised them with values to love God, to love your neighbor. And the things that they experienced and how they were able to endure the true racism and segregation and harm is incredible. But then what happened was the government said, yeah, we care about people in poverty. So let's give them some aid. And they started Medicaid and they started welfare and SNAP and all those kind of benefit programs. And now we have, over those years, literally trillions and trillions of dollars have been poured. And yet poverty is as bad as it's ever been. And so the question then becomes, is the answer in more resources, or is the answer in a tougher conversation, which is, how do we, and this is applying to all races in poverty, the white, Hispanic, Black, doesn't matter. I'm not saying this to blame, only to acknowledge that part of the culture that can, if you're in poverty, can be perpetuated from generation to generation is not just a lack of resources. It's a lack of an idea of values that are brought about through Judeo-Christian values that were brought here. But we have separated God from the schools. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that accountability built into our stream, our world. So you pull God out of the school system. So you don't encourage prayer. Well, when there's relational voids and things like that, you can fill them with people whose fathers aren't at home. What do? You establish a gang, because God's created us as relational beings. So he's brought us all in. And right now there's a gang culture. You say, well, why does somebody want to be a part of a gang? Because they grew up not belonging and not having a sense of feeling loved and all of that. But the gang culture only survives on violence and crime and those kind of things. So you ask yourself, how effective would the gang culture be if there was a father in every home to protect their children and to stand up against that and to teach them the values that they wanted to have? One of the shows that I loved back in the 70s, but it was so criticized as being unrealistic, was Good Times, because John Amos, who played the father, they were living in the ghetto of Chicago, and he wasn't educated. He had dropped out in the eighth grade, but he was there and he disciplined his children. He loved his children. He kept his home together, and every negative influence from drugs to hustlers to everything else, he'd meet them at the door. Yep. You know, this is my family. You're not going to get through me. And even with that, kids struggle with life. And so I'm just saying, poverty, we're not going to, we do need resources to fight against poverty. The answer is not only found in resources. I think each of us have to look within ourselves and in the culture that we promote, because right now the rap culture promotes violence and crime and misogynist views towards women and abusive and promotes things that are antithetical to healthy life and peaceful living and neighborly living and loving your neighbor and all those kind of things. Yet it's so pervasive, and we don't want to touch that, because to even say what I've said now, I could be labeled as a racist and that I hate Black people. And the opposite is, it's soul crushing to see generational poverty, where a whole new generation of people are coming through with no hope of ever wrapping their arms around the American dream, having achievement, building their own family, building their own legacy. And it's not just a lack of resources. It's cultural issues that we're going to have some tough conversations about if we want to have a true impact on poverty.
How can people help out the Heart of Alabama Food Bank?
Yeah, jump on the website, go to HAFB.org, and feel free to, if you're in the area, we'd love to have you come volunteer and connect with us, get a tour, or donate to the mission, donate to what we do, helping our neighbors across 35 counties.
I love you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.